quiet Sunday afternoon, last August, armed robbers stormed a museum in Norway and took two paintings. They included an Edvard Munch expressionistic masterpiece, The Scream. As soon as that theft was reported, the painting was entered into what's called the Art Loss Registry. It's a small for-profit company with offices in New York, and it has compiled an enormous database to help track lost or stolen art. Over the years, this company has had some notable successes in locating missing works. NPR's Jim Zaroli reports.
A few years ago, the staff at the Art Loss Register got a call from a big insurance company. The company was involved with the transfer of some paintings from Russia to England, and it wanted to make sure there was nothing suspicious about their background. The Art Loss Register's chairman, Julian Radcliffe, says when staff members began researching the paintings, one of them caught their eye.
It was a still life done by Cézanne, unfinished, stolen from a family in the northeast of the USA 23 years ago. A very important work because it was the first picture where cubism can be identified. It disappeared from a private house and nobody heard anything about it.
Radcliffe said the painting's legal owner was now dead, but the Art Loss Register got the painting returned to his heirs. They later sold it for about $25 million. The lost Cézanne was the most valuable artwork ever found by the Art Loss Register, though it's by no means the only one. David Chillingford is the company's director of marketing and operations.
We have been responsible for the recovery of thousands of works. I would say as many as 3,000 works, but there are countless others that have been recovered as a result, indirectly, of our efforts.
Chillingford says the company once helped police in Britain locate a stolen Queen Anne chest. After police arrested the man who sold it, he led them to warehouses filled with stolen art. Before the Art Loss Register was founded, it was tough for galleries and museums to know whether a work they were buying was stolen. Then in 1991, the company began compiling a computer database of lost works. Today, says David Chillingford, it has some 145,000 works, including more than 400 by Picasso alone.
It's not just paintings, it's sculptures, it's collectibles. It is as much a $5,000 candlestick as it is a $50 million item that is stolen out of a museum.
And the database has grown in recent years, in part because of some high-profile recoveries of art seized by the Nazis. The families of Holocaust victims are increasingly going to court to reclaim objects taken from their relatives. When a gallery or museum is buying an artwork, it can check the database to see whether it might have been stolen. On a recent morning, a European gallery sent a request to the Art Loss Register's New York office. The gallery is considering buying a centuries-old marble bust. Staff member Katie Dugdale enters the bust into the database.
In this case, I'm just going to search sculpture, and I'm going to use the keyword head. And
dozens of small photos of marble busts of all shapes and sizes appear on her screen. Dugdale studies them carefully.
No, it doesn't look like in this case this image is registered with us.
When she's done, Dugdale sends the request on to the company's antiquity specialist in London, who will check with law enforcement agencies to see whether the work was ever reported missing. Museums and galleries pay an annual fee to use the company's services. Sharon Cott, general counsel of the Metropolitan Museum of Art, says the database is a way of going the extra mile to find stolen art.
It's a centralized, organized repository of information from people all around the world about stolen works of art. And it's helpful because they gather in a very prompt and systematic method information that, you know, may not be on the front page of the New York Times, like the theft of the monk.
As the Art Loss Register has grown, it's had to expand the number of places it searches. For instance, it now trolls through websites like eBay looking for lost works, says Julian Radcliffe.
Increasingly, we are finding items not in the major auction houses or with the major dealers because it's known we're searching there and these items don't get sent there anymore. We're finding them on the internet and from criminals who contact us because they think it may be better to surrender these items than go on trying to sell them.
If nothing else, the Art Loss Register is a form of legal inoculation for its subscribers. It may not stop people from buying stolen works, but if they do, they have a record to show that they tried, at least, to find out the truth about an item before they bought it. Jim Zaroli, NPR News, New York.
Here's one other note from the art world. The treasures of King Tut are returning to America, but you'll have to spend some treasure to see them. The jewels and gold of the Egyptian king last came to this country 25 years ago. New York City's Metropolitan Museum of Art helped to organize a tour then for the Tutankhamun treasures, and people crowded museums across the country. They started a King Tut fad. This time around, even more of the Egyptian craftsmanship will be on display.
But it won't be on display at the Met. The Egyptian authorities want museums to charge people as much as $30 a person to see the artifacts. The Met says the payment goes against its long-standing policy against charging additional entrance fees. Other museums are happy to collect the money, so King Tut will begin his tour of America here in California. The exhibit opens next summer at the Los Angeles County Museum of Art.
Now when he was a young man, he never thought he'd see.